Good morning. This is Spring Valley Bible Church Online. My name is Kit Sheehan. We need to put our distractions away from us and concentrate on the worship service. So to that end, let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace, for your many provisions, many, many blessings we see. We thank you for answered prayer, and we pray for our country. Now, Father, help us concentrate on the worship service, prayer, singing, and study. For we ask it in Christ's name, amen. Okay, Brian, what songs do we have today?
Good morning, everyone. If you've got a hymn book, would you turn to number 61? Number 61 is called Come Christians Join to Sing, 3 verses. Okay, once again, if you have a hymn book with you, would you turn to 324? 324 is called Higher Ground. It should be 4 verses.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand on faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to live above the world. Though Satan's darts at me are hurled, for faith has caught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground. For Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a gleam of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I found. Lord, lead me on to higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand, my faith on heaven's table land, a higher plane than I have found. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground.
Wow, very nice, very nice. I like that one. Well, let's see here. We've got a lot of stuff to read here on prayer. We'll start with emails from Katie. Her daughter Emily is in great need of prayer. Just let me read. There's two emails, and I'll just bear with me. My daughter's in need of prayer. We need smart docs and diagnoses. She has swelling of the optic nerve in her brain and colon issues as well. Has lost 60 pounds since October. I imagine the eye doc will order a brain MRI at a recheck this week, since the steroid drops have not done anything for the dilation of her eyes. There are many decisions hanging on correct diagnosis. Move home to get well. My selling the house and moving to care for her. Her going on short-term disability, go back to part-time teaching at the college instead of full-time work in Grapevine. We need divine intervention. We need God to help us move us forward. The second email, Emily has just come out of a follow-up with the eye doc. He checked her macula, which is fine, but she's losing her vision. He ordered a brain MRI to check for a tumor on her optic nerve and gave her a referral for neuro-ophthalmology. It took my nephew 7 months to get into neuro-op with an MRI, and with the eye doc telling neuro that it was urgent. Please pray for appointment ASAP. Let me read that again. The prayer here is that they get an immediate appointment. Need the doctors to look at her now before things get any worse. Her school contract, making a decision to move home, or me moving to her house is all pending on this eye thing and her GI issues. GI appointment is on Monday. She's lost 60 pounds since October. Pray for her to be able to function in her high-stress job in the midst of health tests. Much prayer there needed. Now, with prayer comes answered prayer. We've seen that many, many times. But it's good sometimes encouragement to hear others thank us for the prayers that we have made. Here's a lengthy email from Carrie John. We've been talking about Fossil and Carrie John. Now they're coming back to the States, and they're so grateful for our prayers. So let me read here, because, like I say, we need to hear the answered prayer, the encouragements, because when God answers and blesses people, we like to share their blessings. From the depths of my heart, I want to sincerely thank you for your faithful support and prayers. The past 7 months of mission work in Pakistan have been a truly remarkable journey, filled with ups and downs, challenges and victories, tears and celebrations, new births in Christ, baptisms, and spiritual growth. Through it all, God has proven himself faithful again and again. Every journey eventually reaches a transition point, and now it's time for me to return to our home base in Arizona. I'll be traveling tomorrow. Now, this was 6 days ago. And I humbly ask you to keep me in your prayers for safe travel and renewed strength. I'm deeply grateful because everything that has happened here has been possible through your prayers and partnership. Lives have been touched. History has been changed. Eternal destinies have been impacted across Pakistan, not only through on-the-ground ministry, but also through online outreach. Thousands upon thousands of people have been reached with simple messages, videos, and words of encouragement. You are truly partakers in what God has done. Divine healing, restoration, and spiritual regeneration that have taken place in many lives. The fruit belongs to the Lord, but you share in the harvest through your faithfulness. In the days coming, I look forward to sharing piece by piece the testimonies and stories of what God has accomplished through your love, prayers, and support. Now, Eve also gave us some encouragement as well. She said, just wanted you to give an update on my family. My brother is doing very well. He did have to retire due to his health, and that's been a change, but overall, he's able to spend more time with his family. With the continued prayers of warriors and the right combination of drugs, my niece Dottie finally awoke from her coma. Hallelujah. She had to be sent to rehab to learn how to walk and regain her speech. Her short-term memory was also affected. She was released Sunday and was able to go to her mother's home, my sister-in-law. The doctors are arranging a home health service for her, and then she will be able to go back to her house. It is still a mystery to the doctor as to what caused the seizures and other symptoms, so we may never know the reasons. I do want to tell everyone how much I appreciate all the prayers. May God continue to lead you in your studies and teaching. Okay. So we're so grateful when we hear such encouragement in answered prayers. We talked about Nigeria. Here, this is the persecution.org website. You've got the persecution.org, which is International Christian Concern. But there's also persecution.com, which is the martyrs, the Voice of the Martyrs. I got a lot of news on the .org website. So U.S. military training force arrives in Nigeria. I remember Trump saying that he was going to send some people there. U.S. officials confirmed to the media that roughly 100 U.S. troops arrived in Nigeria on Monday, tasked with a mission to train and equip Nigerian anti-terror forces in their ongoing struggle against the country's rising terrorist threat. Again, this is if you want to keep up on some of the persecution, but also in this case, and our response by our government to help with that. Now we go to our prayer list. We start with Herman and Judith. I think I got to talk briefly with Herman on the phone. Always enjoy our conversations. I'm very grateful for Herman for allowing me to preach. So we pray for Herman and Judith both for their health issues, for their strength, stamina, and that there'll be many blessings in their lives. Pray for John and Judy Hintz at Tucson Bible Church, and their church and their mission there, their preaching. We talked about Fossil and Carrie John. We talk here about the Risley family, Courtney and Grady and their children. Pray for their safety, dangerous place that they're in. Never know from day to day who's going to get shot, who's on what side. The problem is the drug cartels, in particular in their areas, the Sinaloa cartel. There's different factions within that cartel, and they're fighting against each other. So pray that Grady and Courtney will have the resources that they need, the protection. Here's another sad story. We got, I forgot to put the text here, but Pat went home to be with the Lord. Dan is, pray for Dan, but he's also has a blood cancer, was just diagnosed. Worst case, he has 2 years. Best case, he's got 5+ years. I don't think there's this particular one, I don't think has a solution, a cure. As long as he's healthy, then it may keep this cancer at bay. So, pray for Dan for his stamina, strength, for blessings in his life, that even though he's lost Pat, that he can continue to go forward and in dependence on God to move him forward. Also, we constantly pray for Brother Linus. He's had many answered prayers as well. We know that the U.S. military has sent some people down there to help with the terrorist situation, and that's been a problem for Christians in Nigeria. Also, it's a problem in Sudan and other places, such persecution. And we switch to the military. We don't know still what's going to happen in Iran. We know that there's a concentration of American forces in that area. So we pray for the military, that those people who are saved will have fellowship, Bible studies, will be able to give the gospel, and that those people that are willing to listen to the gospel, that they'll be given the gospel that they might choose. We pray for police. We know that ICE, great issues there. So we pray for their protection, their mission. They're trying to help get murderers and rapists and all kinds of bad people off the streets. But there's people that are trying to hurt them. So pray for their protection. And again, all these situations are sometimes used by God to get the gospel to people. Sometimes bad things happen, and people that need the gospel end up with face to face with people that are willing to give the gospel. So pray that that the police and the fire department, ICE, that they'll be encouraged in their missions, and that there's a spiritual outreach into their ranks. We're grateful for God giving us the Spring Valley Bible Church ministry, and we pray for the teaching, the technical. We're grateful to Brian and Julie for the technical side of the church, and finances. Pray for America. As the leaders are under incredible pressure, whether that's the Attorney General, DNI, my favorite, one of my favorites is John Ratcliffe. He's from right here in Texas. He's head of the CIA. He doesn't show up in the news much, and that's a good thing for the head of the CIA. But pray that he'll have leadership or leadings from the God, the Holy Spirit. I believe he's a believer. And protection. Such a difficult job. We talk about Herman and Judith. Continue to pray for them. We talk about the youth ministry. Where do we got that? So we got the youth ministry. If you got to get, they have a camp coming up. You can register, and then you can go to their website here, and you can contact them, register. It looks like here you got Liberty Youth Camp in June, you can participate one way or another as a participant or as on staff. You also can give to them. We have our website where you can give to us, donate. And remember, it's between you and God. There's no pressure. You need to give not begrudgingly, but with a cheerful heart. You can give online, both to the church or to the Liberty Youth Group. Now they have their own website, like I said, for Liberty Youth Group. Or if you like, you can send a check. I know some of us older folks, we like paper. So if you give by check, you can send your check to Spring Valley Bible Church, P.O. Box 70, 2431, Dallas, Texas 75370. Okay. And I do appreciate prayers for me. Sometimes you feel like you know someone's praying for you. I don't know how to explain that. But there are times when you know that you're in a tough situation and you know that someone's praying for you. We've heard the stories of Ellis Chafer where he's sleeping and he gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning with a deep desire to pray for something. I've had that occasionally where you wake up in the middle and there's somebody in your mind. God puts a person's name in your mind and then you pray for that person. So I'm grateful. Thank you. We have many, many people who have gone to be with the Lord. There was Fran, went home to be with the Lord last week. And others here. I won't go through all of them, but you can read them on our prayer requests. So baby Nicole, Grady and Cheryl Risley's baby, grandbaby. This is a new one. I don't remember this one. Born 11 weeks early due to complications. Mom is okay, but Nicole is struggling. She has infection, a hole in her heart, and kidneys begin to fail. Pray for her and their family. So, God can intervene, can provide amazing help. Pray for Debbie for the lung cancer. We had the paragraph I read on Dottie. Frankie, an 80-year-old, has an infection after heart valve replacement. I'm familiar with someone in my family had heart valve replacement, and it's they have to open you up, open up your chest and get into the heart. It's a tremendous invasive surgery. So, and that's the problem is when you get an infection. So Frankie needs our prayers. Art, we've been praying for him. He's in hospice care, but is eating, walking, and is improving. Joanne in her 90s broke her arm. Noelle came out of a coma and is in rehab. I pray for her. So the prayer here is really Joanna went to be with the Lord, but her husband Nico needs our prayers. He's suffering. He's after being married 30 plus years, maybe 30, 40 years, a long time. And when you spent most of your life with your spouse, and all of a sudden they're gone, it's a great loss. Now, we don't suffer the way unbelievers do because we know that believers go to be with the Lord. but it's still even. We know that even Jesus, when Lazarus died, that even Jesus wept. Continue to pray for Jerry, for the PSA numbers to come down. Brooke's dad, diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, continue to pray for him. We talked about the Risleys. Mickey Bell, that's a while ago when he went to be with the Lord in January. Theo, continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for Candace for continued strength and rehab, and also that she's dealing with her dad has had a stroke. Pray for his healing and recovery, and her mom as well has got physical problems. So I guess we'll, I think I wanted to say something else here, but, we'll just go into prayer here and prepare our souls for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Thank you, Father, for your many blessings. Thank you for the opportunity to be filled with the Spirit. If we're in sin, we acknowledge that and move on in faith, dependence on the Holy Spirit. We pray now, Father, that the Holy Spirit will empower me with words to teach, will empower those that are listening, that they might understand, that the Holy Spirit might reveal to them the truths of your Bible. We lift up these many people, Father, from our church, from our friends, that we know that if we don't ask, we don't get, but so we ask. We ask for your help, Father. Please help our these people that are looking to you for blessing. I pray now, Father, that you'll help the country. You'll help our leaders, military, the police, the fire department. They're out there helping us, protecting us. So now we pray for their protection. And we thank you, Father. So many things that you've given us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. I have today another intro. I didn't want to call it intro. And I wanted to look at that word saint, sanctification and holy, an important word. So when I was a teenager, well, actually, it started when I was younger than that. I was interested in bugs, beetles, and I was interested in nature, just all the different things around. But I started collecting butterflies in junior high school and high school. I had found a black widow spider, and I left it alone, of course. But I found that there was this man. He'd been in the Navy, and his rank was Commodore. Now, I don't think they use that rank anymore, but it used to be during wartime, someone who was in the Navy and was promoted to one star, that was called a Commodore in wartime. So he taught me about collecting butterflies. And before I collected butterflies, you'd go and say, well, there's a butterfly, and there's a butterfly, and there's a butterfly. But I didn't know what the different kinds of butterflies. I mean, it's the same with other things like cars. There's a sedan there. Well, you don't know what is it, a Mazda, a Toyota, a Chevrolet? Is that a Fusion or a RAV4 or just? But so you want to know what the varieties are, what the details are. So as I learned about butterflies, I'd say, okay, that's not just a butterfly, that's a monarch butterfly, or there's a pipevine swallowtail. I love the swallowtails, or red admiral. So I could see varieties. I was sensitive to the differences, and the environment opened up a whole other perspective. Well, the same with words, with Greek words. In the swallow the bugs and butterflies, they each have a Latin name. So if you want, you'd go into Latin to characterize or to identify a specific species. But when we go to the Bible, there are words that we need to understand as well. Just like collecting butterflies, we collect words. But these words have to deal with our spiritual life, with who we are. Tell us who God is, who we are, and our relationship to God, how we live our life. So it is with Greek words, especially now with the word saint, holy, sanctification. The purpose of this lesson is to sensitize you to the word saint, so that when you go through, you can pick it out, not just the word, but the concept as well. What I'm talking about is take the word, for instance, apostle. There are many uses of apostle. We think of the 12 apostles, but there are other kinds of apostles, and basically, apostle is a word for sending. And there's a corresponding word in Hebrew that is used in different places. But there are some places where the word itself is not used, but the concept is very much there. Take, for instance, Abraham. He wanted a wife for his son Isaac. So he sent, that's the basic word of apostle, he sent on a mission back to the home country with credentials and full authority to get a wife. So he went back. And so you have all the elements of apostle there. So in a sense, Abraham apostled or sent on a mission with credentials and full authority to get a wife for Isaac. So same thing with saint. Sometimes you'll see, well, what does that mean? And so you find different places where if saint means set apart, well, where are we set apart? And there are many places that we are set apart. So the word indicates the tremendous blessings Christians have that are way above what were available to Old Testament believers. We have tremendous blessings, way above what Old Testament believers have. Now, don't get a big head on that one, because when we get to the millennium, the Jewish believers in the millennium will have blessings way beyond what we have. But we'll get to see God bless these people. But right now, God is blessing us right here and now. And you say, really? Well, that's why we study the Bible, so that you will understand all these blessings that God has already given you. It's like you've been given a Lamborghini and you've got the keys. Really? How do I? And you need to know how to drive it. You need the rules of the road. But you have tremendous blessings. Listen to the writer of Hebrews. Chapter 11 is sometimes referred to as the Faith Hall of Fame of the Old Testament. After listing many of the Old Testament faith heroes and their many accomplishments based on their faith, the writer says in Hebrews 11:39, "And all these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised, because God had provided something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect." Something better, something better. This should cause you to stop and reflect. You have more blessings than the Old Testament believers. You have more blessings than David, than Solomon, than Abraham, Jacob. You've got so many things, and we're going to look at some of those today. So the word, I don't know that something better really gives the punch of the word. Superiority. We have a superior status. We are a new creation. We have so many things because we are in Christ. They did not have in Christ in the Old Testament, but we do. So from Bible Hub, something here to give you a background of this word. I tried to pull out just something that would characterize that word. Hebrews employs the term, this word, to set forth the absolute supremacy of Jesus Christ. So he uses this word of Jesus Christ over Old Testament people and so his priesthood, his covenant, and the believer's promised inheritance. The Petrine, that means Peter, and Pauline turn the spotlight on ethical decisions in light of that supremacy. Never before have believers had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Never before in history. Never before have believers been given individual spiritual gifts. Never before, except in the church age. Never before did believers have the ability to be filled continuously by the Holy Spirit by faith. Never. We have it. Never before have believers been made a temple for the residence of Jesus Christ. Consider this. Under the Mosaic law, there was either a tabernacle, that's another word for tent. Why the translators don't say a tent, maybe because that's just a regular old word, but tabernacle, that means something special, or a temple for the dwelling of the Shekinah glory. And Shekinah just means dwelling. When I was in Saudi, we went to some place called Iskan Village, the dwelling village. So here they have the dwelling. And so God dwelt with his people in the Old Testament in a tent or in the temple. But we have a temple in ourselves. That's where Jesus Christ resides. The Holy Spirit is that temple. Within this temple, there was a place called the Holy of Holies, in which resided the presence of God the Son. Now, the Holy Spirit somehow constructs a Holy of Holies in each believer for the residence of Jesus Christ. We have a temple. We have a fellowship with Jesus Christ, the Shekinah glory. But the correct function of this fellowship, of course, depends upon the filling of the Holy Spirit. We are aristocracy. Paul addresses his readers of his epistles many times as saints. So here's a list of some of those of Paul's epistles. I wanted you to be sensitive, so when you see these in the address or other places, you understand there's a tremendous meaning behind that word. We are separated, yes, we are your aristocracy, but I wanted in this lesson to pick out just some, not many really, but some of those places where a saint is different. Now, the places that I pull up don't necessarily have the word saint in them. Now, what we do right here, and I'll go through the addressees and a saint, but there are many places where we are different. We are superior. Romans 1:7, to all who are beloved of God in Rome, called as saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a doctrine even in Paul's addressees. Called as saints, as is not in the Greek. It was added by the translators. I understand the phrase to be more like titled saints. In normal discourse, we say Mr. Sheehan. As believers, it would be Saint Sheehan. The problem with this word is it has a lot of theological baggage. Some denominations consider saint to be only those people who have been canonized by church officials because of an exemplary lifestyle. In reality, saint applies to all believers in Jesus Christ. It applies to you, me, every one of us that have believed. We are saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, to those who have been sanctified, same basic word, same root. We have been sanctified in Christ Jesus. Ooh, in Christ Jesus. Saints by calling, with all who in every place call the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, their Lord and ours. Sanctified in Christ. Sanctified is a perfect passive participle. It means something that happened in the past with ongoing results, abiding results. We were made saints at the point of salvation as a result of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And remember that baptism is really important. I don't know that we've gone over it and over it, but because of that we are in Christ Jesus, and because of our position in Christ, we have many, many things, many blessings. And so there are ongoing blessings. Saints by calling. The funny thing here is that this is the exact same wording as Romans 1:7, but it's translated differently. Here the translators put saints by calling, whereas in Romans, they put called saints. Again, I see this as a title, titled saints. Our title is saint. The translation called saints, it's correct, but it's instructive to understand we carry the title saint. 2 Corinthians 1:1. And as study going through the studies, and I keep going back to 2 Corinthians, how important a book that is. Not all the books are important, but we don't really end up studying 2 Corinthians much. That's not really the next on my agenda, but it's an important book. I'm surprised at how many gems are found in 2 Corinthians. So the first verse in that book, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are throughout Achaia. All the saints. Believers are referred to as saints. We are saints. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints who are at Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. Saints, believers in Christ, position in Christ. That's where we are, a saint. Now, there were set apart people, saints in the Old Testament, but we are different, as we're seeing. A saint today is someone who has believed in Jesus Christ and as a result is in Christ, something they did not have in the Old Testament. Philippians 1:1. Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. See how that this saints is associated with being in Christ. We are saints in Christ. We are not saints in the Old Testament, we're saints in the New Testament. All New Testament saints are in Christ. We are different. Colossians 1:2. To the saints and faithful brethren, there it is again, in Christ. How important that position in Christ. And remember, once again, baptism of the Holy Spirit is how we are entered into Christ. Who are at Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. Saints and faithful brethren in Christ. Again, sainthood is associated with position in Christ. Now, last week, information from RB Theme suggested that saint equates to spiritual aristocracy. He apparently didn't like the translation set apart for saint and sanctification. But just because he didn't like the term, as Trent, doesn't mean that we don't explore it. I think it's and we look at what things set us apart. In other words, we might not see the word saint, but you see the we are set apart. We are different. And I want to just, again, these are just a few, I'm not really going into great detail. So let us travel down the path of saint equals set apart. And we often say set apart, but we don't often go down that path. What does that mean? What kinds of things set us apart? So even Theme understood that Christians are set apart. The following list is not really in any particular order. There's no claim that it's a complete list. And some of these characteristics, they overlap. So in some cases, they may be the same characteristic just from a different perspective. The point is to get you to think about the magnitude of blessings you have in Christ. We are different because of all these blessings God has already given us. You wake up someday and you're surrounded by bags of gold. But you've got to realize, like I said, collecting butterflies. You got to understand these bags of gold, what they are. We start with what's in the Bible. Just the scriptures themselves. I didn't even mention that. But God has given us a love message, the Bible. So the point is to get you to think about the magnitude of blessings you have in Christ. Here's what the Bible says about believers. The word saint is not included in most of these verses. The point is that these illustrate key perspectives of being set apart. New creation sets us believers, unbelievers, and Old Testament believers apart. We are new. This new creation of all these things we have in Christ, they didn't have those in the Old Testament. 2 Corinthians, remember that I said 2 Corinthians is important, an important book. And I want to highlight that because we don't normally end up in 2 Corinthians. We're talking about Rome or Romans, and we've talked about Ephesians and Galatians and 1 Corinthians. But here we have 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, again, that's how important that is. How important that is in Christ. He is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. There are fundamental changes to the unbeliever when he believes in Jesus Christ. The believer is set apart from the unbeliever due to fundamental changes to his composition, to our composition, who we are. Some of these are captured in the following chart. The old man is dead. There is now a new man. The believer has a human spirit. with which to perceive and learn spiritual topics. This sets us apart from unbelievers. We have a human spirit. They don't. We can understand human or spiritual phenomena. The sin nature which dominates the will of the unbeliever is now not in control unless the believer allows it. The unbeliever has no recourse. They're under the domination of the old sin nature. But the believer has the choice, and that's a key word, choice. We have a choice to depend faithfully, or faith dependence on God, the Holy Spirit, to be led, to be empowered, to learn, to be guided. God, the Holy Spirit, but we have the choice to do that. The unbeliever does not. The sin nature no longer has a stranglehold on the soul. The alternate choice for the believer is to depend upon the Holy Spirit. And we've covered that to some extent in Romans chapter 6 and 7. Now we really get into the Holy Spirit here in chapter 8. And I'm hopeful that I'll get into chapter 8, verse 1 next week. Now we'll start out with just that first verse, but there's textual error and there's a vocabulary word. And there'll be some interesting differences than what we have seen before. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit itself sets us apart not just from unbelievers, but from Old Testament believers. It's something new. This is superior. The potential filling of the Holy Spirit itself sets us apart not just from unbelievers, but again from Old Testament believers. It's something new. It is superior. Here's my little chart. So we start with we talk about the Mosaic law, and that we talked about that in Romans chapter 7. We talked about the baptism of the Holy Spirit that places us in Jesus Christ in chapter 6. In Adam all die. So the fruit of the sin nature is sin and relative righteousness. But the faith in Christ saves us, and by that we our composition is changed. We have the a human spirit. We are separated from the old sin nature. It's not totally gone, but we have, like I say, optional. And many times it's just we don't realize that we're sinning. We have to wake up. Oh, I was sinning. You have to acknowledge that. It's so easy to just fall into sin. Some of those patterns that we have as unbelievers are hard to break. Driving in traffic can make you really upset. But you need to learn not to be upset. And this is something that almost every day comes to mind. There are people you see on TV that are bad, or say are just flat out lies, and you may your sin nature may say, oh, you want bad things to happen to that person. No, we need that person needs the gospel, and so instead of wishing bad things on bad people, wish for God to intervene in their lives, give them the gospel, convince them of its truth. We can't necessarily pray that they believe. It's up to their free will, but we can pray that they get a good, solid hearing of the gospel. And sometimes that's good, and sometimes they revolt. And we've seen Bible passages where people reject God and bad things happen, but that's between God and them. Between us and them, remember, our code of conduct is called love. We should pray for that person, that that person gets the gospel. Or maybe that bad things that they do don't impact the United States or believers badly. So in Christ, all will be made alive, and we know that we're alive spiritually because we now have a human spirit. We're going to heaven, but when you have filling of the Holy Spirit, there's another life, the operational life. We can see that sometimes from the perspective of death. We know there's seven kinds of death. And one of those is the operational death, when you are out of fellowship. You're no longer producing righteousness. Remember, Abraham. Remember Abraham in Genesis. Abraham believed and it was credited to him for righteousness. When we're in fellowship, we produce righteousness. When we're out of fellowship, we produce sin and relative righteousness, the righteousness that God doesn't like. God likes only his righteousness, and he provides that when we have faith, dependence on the Holy Spirit. There are more than 30 separate blessings. I say more than 30. I think we talked about 33, 34. Some people went up to 40. I think somebody else wants 100. We just know that there are many, many blessings, and we go through them. What's that song? Count your blessings, your many blessings, one by one. So we do, in when we teach, we talk about individual things, and that's what we're doing now. We know that one of the blessings is we are now a new creature, even different from the Old Testament believers. So, we are separated from the Mosaic law. The law no longer applies directly to us. While Romans chapter 6 emphasized that the sin nature no longer has a stranglehold on the soul, Romans chapter 7 tells us the Mosaic law is not the way of salvation, nor the Christian life. It's no longer the accepted code of conduct. They had a code of conduct in the Old Testament embodied in the law. But we knew that, we know that nobody but Jesus could fulfill the law. But now we have a different law, the law of Christ. Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness. Each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. John 1:17. For the law was given through Moses. So the law is associated with Moses, the Mosaic law. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. So grace and truth come out of the law of Christ. The law of Moses versus the law of Christ. Law versus grace. 1 Corinthians 9:19 and following. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jew I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, though not being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. Romans 8:1-2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ. And you know, if you have a King James, you'll see there's some words missing. We'll have to talk about that. I'm assuming I'll get to Romans 8:1 next week. Interesting. That ought to be real easy passage there, but there's a textual problem, missing part of the verse, and then the condemnation. What does that mean? A little different than what we expect. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. That's our code of conduct. Comes out of the filling of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit, singular, of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Item 3 here. Position in Christ separates us from unbelievers and believers in the Old Testament. Romans 6:3. Or do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus, we keep bumping into that, in Christ, have been baptized into his death. Therefore, we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. Newness of life. It's new. It's separated from our past. We are saints. We are separated. Number 4. Citizenship in heaven separates us from unbelievers. My wife became a U.S. citizen. She had to study to learn about the Constitution, learn about America, the history, learn English. So that's what we do as believers. We study doctrine to understand who God is, who we are, our relationship, our code of conduct, dependent on God, the Holy Spirit. Philippians 3:20, for our citizenship is in heaven. We are citizens of heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory, by the exertion of the power that he has even to subject all things to himself. So we will have a body like Jesus Christ. I know some people are afraid that to cremate. What we need our body. Well, we won't have the same exact same physical body. It's like Jesus. He had a body that was like his physical body when he was alive, but he could walk through walls. So it was different. In the Middle East, I ran into the phrase, same but different. So our body, a resurrection body, will look like maybe the our old, will be recognizable as who we are, but our bodies will be like Jesus Christ's body, amazing bodies. And we won't know all of the characteristics of that till we actually get it. So we still live on earth and have citizenship in our respective countries. But from a spiritual perspective, we no longer are a member of the cosmos diabolicus. We are citizens in heaven. Point 5. Future mission separates us from unbelievers and Old Testament believers. Second Corinthians again. Such confidence we have through Christ toward God. Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant. Not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. Servants of the new covenant. So this is not the word for slave. This is a word from, we get the word deacon, diakonos. Just something here on the new covenant. Some people, that's why we have the Old Testament and the New Testament, the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. But it's a misnomer, really. We are not, the New Covenant is not made with Christians. We are members of the staff that administer the New Covenant in the millennium. And as Robbie Dean says, we are in boot camp right now. So sometimes we have difficulties, but we are being, we go to school, as it were, we go to church to learn, and then we apply those lessons in our lives as we live. So this word servant here, and that's, when you look at it, you think, okay, is that the word for slave? No, it's not. This is a different word. And that's the problem with some of the translations. Some places, doulos is translated slave. Other places, it might be translated servant. And this word is a servant or deacon. It can be translated other ways, but servant is what we see here. It's used in a non-theological way as a waiter at a meal. And so these categories are take. I've got several categories. In other words, there's several nuances to the word servant here, and I thought it would be helpful to go through that. Don't know that we'd go through it anywhere other place, but let's look at how it's used in the New Testament. Mary, mother of Jesus, gave orders to the servants to fill the water pots with water, after which Jesus turned the water into wine, John chapter 2. So, John 2, 5, his mother said to the servants, that's our word, whatever he says to you, do it. It can be used as a master. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. So you have both the verb and the noun used there of servant. Paul says he was made a minister. Oh, there's another different word in English used for that word. A minister of Christ in Colossians 1:23. And we're also ministers of the New Testament, New Covenant. But here we have in 1 Timothy 4:6. In pointing out these things to the brethren, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, constantly nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound doctrine which you have been following. Now, 6, looks like we'll be finishing early here. Be holy as I am holy. Ooh. So we're supposed to be like God. But the point is that by faith dependence, well, we are in Christ. We have fellowship with Christ. We have fellowship with God the Father. We're in the family. So we need to conform to God's standards. And the only way to do that is by faith dependence on God the Holy Spirit. 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts which were yours in your ignorance. But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all your behavior, because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. The commandment is quoted from the Old Testament. So this concept, this principle, applies to both Old Testament believers and New Testament believers. And yet, it's easier for us to accomplish that because we have the potential for the filling of the Holy Spirit. God, the Holy Spirit can cause us to produce God's righteousness. So what Peter was referring to is in Leviticus 11:44, for I am the Lord your God. Consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am holy. You shall not make yourselves unclean with any of the swarming things that swarm on the earth. All believers have a code of conduct. In the Old Testament, the believers were under the Mosaic law. For the church age, we are under the law of Christ. And again, Jesus gave us the new commandment to love one another. So perhaps we can call our code the conduct of love. Our code of conduct is love. Let's see here. Why don't we go to, since we've got time here, let's see if we can go to read some of Romans chapter 8. Okay, so here we are. Romans chapter 8. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Just so you see, there's an issue there. Let's go look at the King James Version. Therefore, there is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Jesus Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And that changes the tenor of that verse. Some would take without the extra words there, that would make it sound like we're talking about justification. But we're in chapter 8. This whole context demands that we're talking about believers and their way of life. So who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So that's an issue that we have to take care of. And then condemnation here. That's really talking about the result of justification, the punishment, the discipline. So there's no discipline to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Changes the meaning there. It's not very important. And Robbie Dean makes a, he's the one that came, that I got that from. Most of the people, I think even Theme, talk about that these extra things are not in the text. So this is one of those few, I think Robbie Dean says there's like 10 textual issues that do have an impact on the meaning. Most of the textual issues are spelling or obvious copy errors, but we had one that we saw in Romans 5:1, where there's just simple one letter, but it changes the meaning of the text. And in that, in Romans 5:1, the textual criticism says one thing, but if you look internally, the context, it demands the other, and both are possible from different manuscripts. So you've got two manuscripts, and from a textual perspective, the oldest and best manuscripts that we consider the best have one version, but the there are other versions, and that one by the context would be demanded. And we have that same issue here. So there's therefore no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And there's why what people say, oh, well, he just copied that. Well, either that or he reiterated it. Okay. Let's just go ahead and close now in prayer a little early. You have a lot to think about, a lot of to understand that we are separated, we are holy, we are saints, because of what God did to us, and amazing things that we have. And I keep emphasizing that, because every week I am amazed again and again at what God has done for believers in the church age, the things that we have. For me, that's so important, that relationship with God the Father. Throughout the day, I can talk to God the Father. I don't have to sit down and just have only a time of prayer, but I can be talking to God the Father throughout the day, thanking him. Thank you, Father, for this. Thank you for my food. And we pray at when we eat. We can pray when we get someplace. Thank you, Father, for getting me here safely. Thank you, Father. And sometimes we pray even when we get suffering. Sometimes we don't understand right away why we suffered, like Job. But at the end, we have this, if we are, what's the word? If we continue in faith, we may understand. And sometimes things happen and we say, oh, now I understand. Now I understand. Sometimes that happens in prayer, where we pray for something. Impossible situations. We've seen that with Ellis Schaefer. I've given you examples from my life where God, we don't realize it, but God is answering our prayers as we pray. We saw that in Daniel. God answers prayer. You just got to keep your eyes open. And sometimes it's not the way we expect to be answered. Sometimes he answers it, like I said, as we are praying. Other times it may be weeks, days, months later, and it might not be what we expect. Sometimes we don't know the right things to pray for. You say, I want a new car. I want a Lamborghini. Well, maybe God gave you a bicycle, and that's maybe all you really needed. Or something else. You needed a reliable means of transportation. So let us end in prayer. We're so grateful for what God has provided. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you that we are separated. And by that separation, we have so many, many blessings. Some of those we don't even realize. We pray now, Father, that the lesson here will be useful for application in our lives, that we have an appreciation for what you have done to us, for us, that we have an appreciation for our lives in spite of difficulties we encounter, that we might use doctrine, promises, concepts that help us get through difficult situations, depending upon God, the Holy Spirit, to guide us, to empower us, to open our eyes and reveal to us your will. Thank you, Father, so many things we have, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.